Okay, today's class is in the schut of Elisheva ben Avadei, Reb Tov Basha, Gadiel ben Elisheva, Sheva ben Elisheva, Emet ben Elisheva, and Reina Malka ben Tov Basha. Also in the schut that everybody else should be healed. I want everybody to have good news. Bezrat Hashem, the Rav Chaim Kramer is successfully healed. Bezrat Hashem, he's home. I spoke to him this morning, and he's doing much better. I want to really thank everybody for their prayers. And obviously, we have so much to be grateful for because of all these classes where in the schut of all his books. So we're very, very grateful that he's healed, and God willing, may Hashem continue to give us good news, and may Hashem continue to little by little cleanse us, and you could see the world being cleansed, and then God willing, open up everything with a new life force. Today's class is very important. Today I'm going to talk about lesson 23 in the second half of Lakuta Moran. I'm also going to take a class on Lakuta Halachot, which is from Parsha Shmini, which is incense and marriage, turning sorrow into joy. This is Rav Nachman's whole message in life. Sing with what you got. Also today we have a Zoom class at 8 o'clock, God willing. We will send the announcement. Sing with what you got. Sing with what you have. We know today, you could see, nobody's really talking about being a perfectionist anymore. There's no need for perfection anymore because everybody knows the world is broken. Our job in this world is to elevate the broken pieces and make it into whole. Your job is to take your imperfection and bring it to Hashem and let Hashem complete it for you. So you can see today that this concept of perfection is really a joke, because after what happened with this whole situation, we recognize that we're just happy to get back to what we had before. But nobody's even thinking about trying to go for perfection anymore. That's all out the window. And we could see how much perspective changed now. So this concept about turning sorrow into joy is a concept about Hasidut. Is recognizing that every breakthrough that you're going to have in your life had a breakdown before. To recognize that every rise had a down before you've had. To recognize that every peak in marriage had a major break before. This is the whole thing. This is what a whole life is about. Turning sorrow into joy. Taking that trauma and saying, if it wasn't for this trauma, I wouldn't be who I am today. Taking the schmutz and the problems that we have today and saying, Hashem, these problems got me closer to you. This is what Rav Nachman wants us to do. He wants us to transform sorrow into joy. To recognize that it's a process. We're not worried about the prize. We're worried about the process. He's thinking more about the process. That when Hashem creates a situation in a person's life where he's brokenhearted, that is the greatest thing about that moment. For a person to have a broken heart at that moment, as the Kosko Rebbe says, there's nothing more greater than a broken heart, and there's nothing worse than a person who's whole, is the whole thing about turning the sorrow into joy. Now, what does this tell us here? That the Holy One, when he says, it gives it as an analogy. Sometimes people are happy and dance and they grab somebody on the outside, because sometimes you go to a wedding or you see people dancing and this guy's sitting down and he doesn't want to dance, he's not in the mood for it. And what do the people do? They grab him. They grab the guy from the chair and they start dancing with him. This is exactly what we need to do with our lives. We need to take all the stuff that's good and all the stuff that's not so good and bring it all together and say it's all one. It's all one. It's when we separate the good and when we say, look how much I'm lacking. My life is my problem. My life is this. This is my life. Look at, I have a beautiful house, but my kids off to death. You have to take it all in the same mixture. It's all one. Yet greater is the courage to actually, one thing is to run away from gloom, but Rav Nachman says it's even greater to actually transform the gloom into joy. To sing with what you have, sing with your imperfection. To sing with your vulnerability, to be vulnerable. This is exactly what Rav Nachman says here. A person should transform his gloom and suffering into joy, like a person who comes to a celebration. As the Pasuk says in Isaiah, they will attain gladness and joy, and sadness should flee. So bottom line is, we can't have two emotions. If you have joy, you can't have sadness. But we have the ability to have something called emunah, to have a belief system that things are going to work out, and we can start dancing before the problem's over. We could say, you know, somebody came to Rav Nathan and he says, listen, I have so many problems. What do I do? He told them to borrow happiness. Borrow happiness. Just like you have no money. Everybody's asking for loans. What are they telling you? Borrow it. You're allowed to borrow happiness, believing that Hashem's kindness will help you. This is the same thing when we're dealing with tough situations. We have to go into something greater and borrow happiness. Get something. This is what he starts the Torah with. Now, what does he say in this, which is beautiful here, how he connects it to the Parsha last week. Incest and marriage turning sorrow into joy. We know from the parshas, Nadav and Avihu were the sons of Aaron, and the first day of the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, what happens? His sons died. Imagine opening day. Next thing you know, his sons died. You could see the celebration and yet the sorrow at the same time. As it says here, the same time people are making funerals, other people are creating, or babies are coming out. This is the cycle of life. It says they put a fire in them and they placed an incense therein. They offered an alien fire before God, which he had not commanded them. So we're going to talk about what exactly happened in the situation. And we already spoke about in a previous class that the incest itself, Moshe Rabbeinu says that it is an atonement for a plague. Our sages say that incense itself, saying the Ketoret, has the ability to have an atonement for a plague. What is the connection between sorrow, sadness, a plague, and this? How is it all tied together? Reb Nachman says that we need to be in a state of simcha, even to actually pursue gloom and transform it into the simcha, like we just said. This means the joy must be so great that it could snatch the sorrow and sighing, which are the hallmark of depressions and sadness, and we have to turn sorrow into joy. Now it is known that the power of sadness and depression is more greatly associated with women. We know women that are over 40, they hit a certain peak, that there's a certain percentage much higher than men. Even you could see this science, that there's more likely a sense of depression or more likely sadness with women compared to men. I'm not saying all of them, just telling you a general nature, because we know that a woman, she's in the side of Bina. Bina is the side of the left side. The left side represents more of a judgment, like this week, Gevura, it's more the sense of the left side, which is a sense of restraint, limits, where the right side is chesed, which is the man. We know the man comes with the ideas, chokhmah, and the woman takes those ideas and says, what are you talking about? How are you going to pay the bills? So the woman, she's really making, she's there to make the constriction, the boundaries, the limits. So she's more connected to the left side. Obviously, this is what gives her, you know, when you're married to your wife, and your wife tells you, listen, don't do business with that guy. She senses much more intuition than a man would have. A man would say, what are you talking? What do you know about the business? How are you judging him? She has that ability. That's the package that she got. She has the ability to have more intuition. So obviously you see a ton of fights between men and wife that, you know, the wife says, I told you not to do business with him. He did business with the guy. He lost money. And then she says, you see, you never respect me. If you would have respected me, you wouldn't have lost the money. Now you put our family in danger, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard that story 1,000 times. So there's an aspect of listening to the wife. There's an aspect of connecting. She's the left side. And what is a man's role in this relationship? What does a man have to do? And why are so many marriages suffering, unfortunately, because of the situation? We know also situations in marriage, anytime that the husband does not make the wife number one, even she could have everything nice in the house, everything great, but if she doesn't, if he chooses another woman as one, even his mother. Your mother cooks, my mother cooks, can you cook like my mother? He could be in a palace in Dubai, all of a sudden that palace will be nothing. Never compare your wife to another woman, ever. You compare, why? Because it's going against her honor. Already she has a situation where she feels more din than you. She's more prone to din. Her mood changes all the time. 8 minutes later, mood could change. She could be in the greatest mood. 8 minutes later, You're the king. You're malach. You're galach. In 8 minutes, the switch is in moods and ups and downs. It's unbelievable. But this is because she's like the moon. The moon's, you see the moon full. Now where's the moon? Now there's a half a moon. It's a quarter of a moon. This is very likely to a concept of a woman. And this is what our sages say, because she's connected to the female side, and it says her feet descend to the bottom. And this is relating, it says, I have found a woman more bitter than... So there's a concept about that if the guy's worthy, his wife helps him. She's a helper, but obviously if the guy's not worthy, then the wife, unfortunately, will go against him. So this is where the role of the man is to come home with that light. This sadness and depression are the sorrow and sighing associated with most women. Now, although the above verses speak about a specific type of woman, in general, this is what Reb Nachman is talking about here. In contrast, simcha and happiness are associated with the man. Usually, if the man's in a good mood, if he comes in with light, she'll get the light, and then he'll get the light back. But if he has no light himself, then what happens? She's not going to have any light, and she's going to be upset. That's why a happy wife is a happy life. Why is a happy wife a happy life? There we go. Because you're completing her light, and the light's coming back to you. Obviously, this is not easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't be a problem. But it's very difficult, the situation. And it requires a lot of elevating, and it requires a lot of shutting a person. A man has to have self-control, and he has to be able to restrain his mouth, specifically this week of Gevurah. Believe me, if you're quarantined with your wife and this week of Gevurah, there's no question that you're going to have to shut your mouth. Otherwise, you're going to get into major fights, because there's an extra energy in the air of extra din this week. And therefore, you have to notice, and you have to be prepared for this. Therefore, this expression that the might and happiness are his place. So where is this connection? Now, what happens is it's a man's role to bring simcha to his wife in matters of relations. So when a person has sexual relations with his wife, he makes her happy. Now, if the man is doing what he's supposed to be doing, if he's learning and he's spiritual and he's praying, what happens is when he has relationships with her, he's downloading his information, whatever he learned that week, and he's downloading it to her. She gets a piece of him without even having to say anything to her. He doesn't have to say nothing to her. She automatically gets that dot. If he comes home with emunah, if he has a faith in his life and he has the ability to have trust in God, then automatically through the act of relations, then that seed will be transferred into her and she'll get a portion of his dot. As it says, Adam knew Chava. Knowing is a concept of relations. Now, the problem is the man has Yetzer Hara. Man has an evil inclination. There's other women. So if he does not pay attention to another woman and defiles this problem, what happens? He loses his spark, because we've spoken many times that most guys are depressed due to a problem with the Brit, due to a problem with sexual immorality, whether it be pornography, whether it be masturbation, whether it be any of these things. Whenever a person does this, that's why you see porn, 62% of marriages fail, because supposedly, I saw a study, pornography and marriage, 62% divorces. The whole concept is you're supposed to make her happy by giving her your wisdom, because she's already incomplete. You're completing her. But when a guy doesn't take that spark in sexuality, which can become the biggest spark and the biggest light, and he takes it and he uses, God forbid, for something else, then obviously the whole boat sinks. Not only are you not doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're bringing her darkness. And you see this many, many times, unfortunately. So a woman should never, you know, many times a woman, sometimes they you know, obviously everybody has a need for certainty. So sometimes you'll see people look for marriages of guys with a lot of certainty. But, you know, they're not spiritually, they don't have spirituality. So you have a bad business deal, the guy gets depressed, next thing you know, he's going to escape somewhere else out. So it's very important that you should have a guy that has emunah and self-control. Because if not, you're not going to get the light. You're not going to be able to get the same light that he has. And imagine a guy coming home, his wife's waiting for him, give her chizuk, give her strength, and he's, leave me alone, I gotta go smoke marijuana. What are you showing? If the leader of the team is coming home to smoke marijuana, what am I gonna do? Everybody looks up to the leader. The guy has to be the leader. The guy has to be the one holding the front. He can't be a shlamazel nebach that's not taking responsibility. He's got to say, I'm taking responsibility, and I'm going to show, I'm going to bring light. This is what a woman wants. She wants a confident person. Confidence and self-control. We could talk about another day that class. So what does he say here? And so we know that a man's obligated to bring simcha to his wife. This holiness of this union brings the kedusha into the simcha. This is the aspect about bringing something from sweetening the judgment. When you're bringing the sorrow into the sadness, not only through only relations. It could be from giving her a good word, buying her something, buying her, thinking about her. Whenever you do something for your wife, you're completing her. You're completing her lack. So you could have done it yesterday. Okay, what's today? Doesn't mean that she needs more. She obviously, women buy more fashion because they every time they get a new garment, it changes their kavod, changes their honor. They feel better. So a man always has to compliment his wife. This is every woman. 99% of women have this, that the man has to be part of making her number one, looking out for her. And when we don't, we pay the price. When we don't, we pay the price, obviously. This is how she's wired. You have a problem with this? File a class action lawsuit against God. These are the rules. Nothing you can do about them. So that's why usually women will never apologize to you, even if they're wrong. Why? Because it goes against their honor, and they already have an issue with that already. So they have their honor has to be completed, not shown less. So what does Reb Nathan say here? And obviously, I'm saying it to you black and white because this is what these classes are about. We're not going to sugarcoat anything because there's no point to sugarcoat anything. There's no audience. There's no advertisement. This is what it is. And this is what the whole book of Rabbi Shalom Arush's book is a man's guide for peace. It's all about recognizing that what you're really doing is when you're nice to your wife. That's why our sages say, when you make your wife happy, when your wealth comes through the wife, when you make your wife happy, you're going to get, in your return, you're going to get blessing out of it. And Rabbi Arush says something beautiful. He says, because the sin, what happened, the curse that she got in Adam and Eve was that you would be dominant over her. Man would be dominant over her. And what was the curse that man got? The curse that man got was that the man would have to eat through bread and sorrow. Through sorrow, he's going to eat his bread and sorrow and depression. So what happens is, measure for measure. Because a person doesn't make her become dominant. He doesn't become a person that's constantly demanding of her. He's not the demanding, telling her what to do. We know there's a famous line, says, when love, I think Rav Desto says, When demands begin, love departs. When people start demanding, people don't want to be with that person anymore. So when you take away that portion of demands from the wife, what happens? Hashem takes the burden of you making your money with sorrow and pain. So measure for measure. So you're really helping yourself between you and me. So sometimes shutting your mouth and being quiet is the hardest thing to do. But because it's so hard, it's against your nature. Your nature is to argue. Your nature is to prove you're right. But realize that it's all coming from the ego. It's not the soul. The soul is to complete her. Just like you see somebody falling on the ground, you don't tell them, why'd you fall down? Don't you know how stupid you are? No, your job is to elevate and pick them up. Pick them up. Your job is to pick them up. And this is what it says to our sages. Now, what are we doing when we're taking the incense? What's the whole purpose of the incense, the ketoret? The purpose of the ketoret is, that's what it says, the incense brings simcha to the heart. God created the ketoret, that one thing in the ketoret is called the halbanan, the galbanan spice. It smells horrible. It smells horrible. But it has to be part of the 11 species of the Ketoret. If you don't have that foul-smelling, that foul-smelling spice, it doesn't bring the Ketoret. The whole purpose of the Ketoret is bringing the schmutz, the foul-smelling, and making it all one. Yes, Hashem, I have a beautiful life. Yes, so I have this issue, so I have this issue. So what? I still have a beautiful life. When you say, Hashem, I still have a beautiful life, even though I'm struggling with this, even though I'm struggling with that, you're basically imitating what you're doing. You bring sorrow into the simcha. And you recognize that I'm not going to be satisfied all the time. And being dissatisfied is being satisfied. When I know that I'm never going to be satisfied 100% of the time, so the dissatisfaction isn't my satisfaction. But a person expects every little thing to go right, and everything has to be perfect for him. And everything has to be his. If it's not this way, it's no good, then he has no life. Because he's always looking for satisfaction, which he'll never get. Which we'll never get. So why did Nadav and Abihu die? Why did they die? Specifically with this Ketoret. Having the potential to turn sorrow into sigh, into joy, what happens? The which is the characteristics of making having relationships with your wife, which is the essence of taking your wife and elevating her, elevating your wife constantly. They said, you know what? We want to be tzaddikim. We don't want to get married. I don't want to get married. I don't want to deal with the sorrow. I don't want to have to deal with picking her up. I don't want to have to deal with the headaches. I don't want to deal with the shalom bayit issues. I just want to be holy. I just want to be up. I don't want to deal with problems. I don't want to deal with brokenness. I don't want to deal with neediness. I don't want to deal with diapers. So you know what happens? They died. Because they never wanted, the whole purpose of the Ketoret, of the incense, is to take the sorrow and bring it into joy. It's to take the lemons and make lemonade out of it. That's the whole issue of the Ketoret. It's to take a situation like COVID-19 and say, look at the good thing that came out of it. This is what we're doing. We're trying to extract the good. We're trying to say, listen, Hashem, I know you had to do this. You had to purify the world because the world was full of strip joints and this and that and garbage that has to be elevated. It has to be cleaned up. That is what the whole concept is. It's a cleansing. Taking the sorrow. Okay, so I have to be quarantined. Thank God, at least I'm working on myself. It's literally taking the sorrow and bringing it back to joy. To sing with what you have, not complain what you don't have. This was the fatal mistake because they wanted perfection simcha. They wanted happiness, but the only way to have happiness today is to be resilient. Happiness is not standing and say, oh, I'm happy. Happiness only happens when you could say, this trauma made me who I am. This addiction made me who I am. This situation made me who I am. When you can take the negativity, or if it wasn't for this, the losing money in this business, I would never be this today. This is what life is about. Turning the sorrow into the simcha. If you just want to be with simcha without the sorrow, it's not life. Then why would you be even creative? You wouldn't earn it. You wouldn't be created. What's the purpose of your whole life? Your whole life is happiness. No test, no will, no free will. Just joy. You know, when people say, oh, I'm so spiritual. You know, I'm hanging on Sfad, hugging trees, but you're not married. No, do the same thing with 4 kids and 5 kids. And still do it. That's what you get the reward for. Because before, you're not even in the major leagues. So this is what the importance of men specifically taking responsibility and needing to get married. And unfortunately when they see girls that contradict what they say, or they get divorced, they say, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I had my headache. I don't want to deal with the headaches. I don't want the headaches of marriage. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to jump right back in and say, this is life. Life is about turning the sorrow into the joy. It's not about, okay, I got a divorce. I don't like, my ex-wife gave me a big headache. I'm done with this. That's not what you're supposed to grow. That's taking the easy approach in life. You lose a trade, you go back in the market. You're not supposed to run away from responsibility. And this is exactly what Nadav and Abihu did. They didn't want to deal with the headaches. They didn't want to take responsibility. And this is why men have to get married and they have to take responsibility and they have to stop with this nonsense, these nonsense girls, the wrong type of girls. And they have to recognize your job is not just to be to marry cheerleaders. Your job is to marry the girl and elevate her. And this is exactly what we're supposed to do with everything in life. So your imperfection is your perfection. Your imperfection is your perfection. It's okay if your wife feels down, pick her up. Don't criticize her. Tell her why she's not happy. Why are you not happy? That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's how can I make her happy? Maybe help her with the kids. Maybe help her with this. Believe me, I do a lot of Mesura Nefesh. But I'm doing it because that's the role. The role is to do that. And then really, you're helping yourself out. You're really helping yourself out. But thinking you're going to have a life of just without, just the joy, without the sorrow, that's not how you make ketoret. That's not how you make life. So, people make fun of people for things. People look at people, oh, look at this guy, he has this issue. Yeah, that's his sorrow. You need to make that sorrow into joy. And if we don't get this lesson in life, you know what happens? We live life, we never complete it. We live life saying, look at the garbage I got. I only got sorrow. That becomes the story in life. I only got sorrow. I only got headaches from Hashem. I only got headaches. All I got was broken pieces. No, you got a puzzle, then you have to put it back together. You have a puzzle that you got, you have to put it back together. And this is why what happens is our Creator shows us. And that's where gratitude opens up your mind. Gratitude makes you think about somebody else. Gratitude keeps you out of yourself all the time. Gratitude makes you look at the big picture. Yes, you got a puzzle in life. Now you got to put it together. That's what life is about. So may Hashem help us all that the ultimate rectification is to turn sorrow into joy. Not look for joy with artificial something. Turn the same sorrow into joy. Bring it all together. It's all one. It's all part of life. People tell me, oh, I can't marry that family. They have a cousin that has a problem. No, yeah, find me one family that doesn't have an issue. This is the judgmental world that we need to run away from. This is another problem that we have. Because if we know everybody has sorrow in life, then why would we want to make better? Why would I want, you know, there's two types of people that make a building. One guy wants a tall building. He wants the tallest building in the neighborhood. But the only way he'll have that tall building is if he puts everybody else's down. There's another building, the guy says, you know what, I want to have a tall building, but I'm going to make my tall building. I don't need to put other people down. So part of understanding this, to understand the human condition is that everybody has imperfection. Every family has issues. One, you have kids that are super smart in this, and kids are struggling in other areas. You have kids that you have, you know, success with one child, not with the other one. And this is what it's all about. It's not to say I'm broken, it's to say this is my life. And when you live like this, it's no problem being imperfect. There's no problem making mistakes. Who cares? Because this is what it's all about. This is the ketoret. You don't live for this world, even trying to be perfect. You don't try even to be a perfectionist. You don't even procrastinate. You just, listen, I got to learn. This is my life, turning the sorrow into the joy. This is what we need to strengthen today. Because what happens is when people don't feel good about themselves and they don't do this, they start criticizing other people. That's the problem. But if you know that this is the human condition, why would you look at somebody else? This is the way God made them. This is the way God gave it. He has a struggle with an addiction. That's his struggle. Your struggle is something else. We all have these struggles in our lives. And we should, instead of talking bad about the struggle, help the guy with the struggle. Help him. That's what our role is. To help the guy with the sorrow. Bring him inside. And when you do that, Hashem will do it for you too. All right, that's today's class.